Ethan Cochran is joining us, who's an archaeologist, and he looks at how systems of political and economic inequality evolved from relatively egalitarian origins. And today we are talking about the origins of the hierarchical society in Samoa and wider Polynesia. They've likely been uncovered by a research team led by archaeologists at Auckland Uni. The team's fieldwork hinged around a mapping technology that revealed never-before-seen structures. And the study lead is Associate Professor Ethan Cochran, who's kindly with us for a kōrero. Thanks for joining us, Ethan. My name's Dale, and a pleasure to welcome you along to Pākehā and Māori Radio here in Tauhiki.
Morning, Dale. Thank you very much.
It's good to talk with you, Ethan. So the model that you have unearthed, literally, in Samoa might have applicable kaupapa that can relate to Aotearoa as well. So I'm interested in this. Can you talk with us about what you've discovered here?
Yeah.
Never before revealed structures. Talk with us about this project, please, Ethan.
This project began in 2018, and we're just wrapping it up in the next year or so. We did have a delay from COVID, like many of us. And what we do in this project is we use a laser mapping technology that involves flying airplanes. And this mapping technology allows us to kind of strip away the jungle, the bush, the trees, and just get really detailed, precise images of the bare ground surface, including all of the structures across that surface, rock walls, platforms, ceremonial mounds, agricultural ditches. If you think about if you compare that to Aotearoa, think of paw sites with all of their ditches and kumara pits and tihi. Those are the kinds of things we can now see in Samoa, even if they're covered in dense jungle.
What sort of technology allows you to do this?
It's a mapping technology that fires lasers from an airplane, not dangerous lasers, of course, but just the kind that you can't see, penetrate the dense jungle and return back to the plane to create a topographic map. And so we have this large map, very precise, with all of these structures across the landscape in Samoa. And with that map, we're then able to go into the field. We travel to Samoa often, my team and I, including my colleagues in Samoa, and we conduct excavations, archaeological excavations of these structures to obtain artifacts, taonga, that tell us how people use the structures, and charcoal to date their origins. And we found that some large, very large rock walls are built earliest about 800 years ago. And those large rock walls seem to divide up the landscape in ways different from today. And we paired that with a genetic study that took place several years prior, which suggested a dramatic rise in Samoan population about the same time these border walls are made. And I guess kind of a last little crucial piece of information is that these border walls, we've also found out that they are built to kind of demarcate or serve as boundaries around highly fertile agricultural land. So it seems that in Samoa, you have population rise, you have maybe a resource crunch, and at that point, people are concerned about protecting their resources, and we think that creates a really kind of, I want to say, a fertile a soup within which leaders can emerge to kind of control or direct the protection of those resources. And we see that same thing, well, other research throughout Polynesia, including Aotearoa, suggests those same kinds of processes may have taken place here.
It makes sense, doesn't it? If you're a rangatira, you are able to weave people together, and that might be a communal effort to establish the gardens and the marakai that is needed for survival. Interestingly, and perhaps encouragingly too, is that nature can take over these structures and have done in Samoa, here no doubt, and other parts of the world. For some reason, regimes come and then they go, and the ngahere, the bush, literally takes over. So it's exciting to be able to unearth these structures, which can point to lifestyles of yesteryear in Te Aokoatu. What have you, or what are some of your thoughts about, therefore, the hierarchical society in Samoa? It still appears that that is the case. They have a very sophisticated societal and political structure culturally. But what does the hierarchical society, how is our understanding of that enhanced by this mahi?
I think our understanding of Samoan hierarchical society, as well again as that same here in Aotearoa, it's very interesting when you look at the Samoan oral traditions. And when I talk to chiefs and aumonga, chiefs and lay people, so to speak, in the village, the recorded chiefly genealogies in Samoa, in this part of Samoa, go back about 30 to 32 generations. And for most people who study genealogies, they're typically considered about a generation, perhaps 30 to 35 years. So if you take those 30 to 32 generations that are known and recognized and discussed in Samoa, that 30 to 32 generations equals about 1,000 years, which is the exact same time that our genetic research suggests populations dramatically rose in Samoa and the beginning of these kinds of behaviors that include increasing hierarchy and leadership. So the archaeology fits right in with Samoan oral tradition. And I dare say we could find the same kinds of things here in Aotearoa if we did similar kinds of studies. The combination of oral tradition, of Samoan knowledge and archaeology coming together to say very similar things. It's very exciting to think about it that way.
I'm excited too because, you know, a lot can happen in 1,000 years as far as sea level rise, etc. And over the years, there's been a bit hoo-ha that people have been so dismissive of our Aroha 4 and references back to Hawaiki as if it's some mythical place that never existed, but quite conceivable when we have this genealogical track record of 30 generations, which in a way has been endorsed too by this mahi you've been doing, could point to quite conceivably a land mass existed that is now submerged or something akin to that. So your work has some serious implications across the wider Pacific. How might we utilise what you've been able to champion and discover in Samoa back home here in Aotearoa, Ethan?
I think the kind of information that my team, not just me, of course, but my team is hugely responsible. The kinds of things we uncover, again, suggest that resources and resources in hierarchy or resources in politics are intimately intertwined. And that would be, of course, no surprise to anyone today in any iwi and anywhere in Aotearoa or across the Pacific, that resources equal power. It did 1,000 years ago, it did 10,000 years ago, and it does today. So I think we should always keep that in mind. This archaeological research can, and along with, again, oral tradition, can remind us of that, remind us of just that fact, that resources matter, and that giving people dignity and power and recognition of their relationships with the land, with the Senua, are important. Or again, Aotearoa, but across the Pacific in these places, yes.
Well, we know that regimes come and they go. And when we look at the amazing taonga unearthed in the jungles of Indonesia and the discovery of structures akin really to the pyramids globally, we know that there are environmental pressures, population pressures, and then significant change. Now, that's occurred in Samoa and saw the populating of our country too. So what more can we learn from what you've been able to assess in Samoa? How might we transfer that across and utilise those same skill sets to uncover more of our past here in Aotearoa?
I think from an archaeological perspective, we can maybe as a country, as a group of people, support support research work, mahi, investigation, critical thinking, analysis that includes both Te Ao Māori and I want to say kind of Western archaeology, for want of a better term. Combining those ways of knowing about the world can only benefit us. It can only benefit kind of the generation of knowledge here in this country and across the Pacific. So, yeah, we have the technology in archaeology to do these things here in Aotearoa and across the Pacific. We have the areas of training, like where I work at the University of Auckland, but also other universities in New Zealand. And we have the young people who are coming up, taking these courses, beginning their kind of research journey, combining, again, if they choose both kind of traditional ways of knowing and more Western academic ways of knowing, into a really, a really excellent result. I guess one thing I want to say is that we shouldn't see those ways, this is very relevant today, we shouldn't see these different ways of knowing about the world as in competition or as contradicting one another. I think they both, and again, I'm talking about my training as an archaeologist who's been trained at universities around the world, and my knowledge of Pacific Island, Samoan, and Aotearoa kind of frameworks for understanding. I think we should combine those things and not see them in opposition. That's something we can take away from this work in a kind of, I guess, in a philosophical sense. In a practical sense, we do have the technology, we have the people, we have the training centers to do this kind of work, continue to do this kind of work in Aotearoa, as long as people recognize the importance of our cultural heritage, the landscape, but also our intangible cultural heritage, which again includes various aspects of Te Ao Māori.
Indeed, and it also includes a hierarchical society, and this can help with us our understandings of how inequality was part of the perhaps norm culturally and historically. You'll have your leaders, you'll have your kaimahi, you'll have your slaves. I mean, it all marries together in a strange way.
It does. It's hierarchy is. I don't want to say hierarchy is natural, but hierarchy is. Social hierarchy, cultural hierarchy has arisen across the planet in a multitude of societies. So it's not inevitable, but it can lead to successful societies. I don't mean the kind of abject inequality we have across the world in many places now, where some, you know, where I think it's something like the top 30% of households in Aotearoa own half of the wealth. I don't mean that kind of inequality, but different positions in society that perform different functions to make the whole work together. I think that's a reasonable thing for us to remember is that is can be a workable system.
It's been a pleasure having a cordial with you on this front. Thanks so much for the mahi you've been doing and for your willingness to share some of
thank
your
you
findings with us on Irirangi Wāte. Thanks so much, Ethan.
Yeah, kia ora, thank you.
Tēnā koe, Ethan Cochrane, joining us, the archaeologist, Auckland University.